Well, this morning I want to share with you, first of all, about the way in which God transforms us into what He requires us to be. In other words, what He has made us to be. And so this morning we're going to start in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And here Jesus Christ is talking to a man that comes to see him somewhere about the midnight hour. He came particularly at night because he didn't want anybody to see him talking to Jesus. There's a lot of people in the world today like him. They don't want anybody to know that they're interested in Jesus in case somebody might laugh at them. But I want to tell you, beloved, I would rather have somebody laugh at me and find life than to have people, you know, accepting you as one of themselves and miss what God has for you. So, John chapter 3, in verse 3 it says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Except a man be born again. The first thing I want to do here this morning is to help you to understand what this means, and I want to change the translation for you, because it's just a shame that that word again was put in there, because that is not the translation of the Greek at all. It should read, "You must be born from above." And you need to understand this. It'll give a whole new meaning to what Jesus Christ was really talking about. Now, if you're interested at all, in Mark's Gospel, you will discover that in chapter 15, I think it is, verse 34, I'll just make sure that's right, Mark 15 and verse 34. Yeah, it says here, that's 14, sorry. Should be right. Okay, 15 verse 34. "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And when they heard it, they beheld, or they thought that he had called Elias," or Elijah. "And one ran and filled up a sponge with vinegar," and so on. Now in verse 8, it says, 38, it says, "And the veil of the temple was rent in two," and see those next three little words, "from the top." That is exactly the same word as in John chapter 3, which is translated there again. And here in Mark, it is the true translation, "from above," or "from the top," whatever you like. But it's "from above." So that is the Greek word, "from above." You must be born from above, not just again. You see, because Nicodemus said, "Well, Lord, that means you want me to go back into my mother's womb and be born again." And of course, that was not what the Lord was talking about. Let me use a very simple illustration here for you. You see, everybody knows what an egg is. Now, most of the birds have come out of an egg. So if you can just imagine for a moment an eagle's egg, an egg of an eagle. And here it is in a little nest way up in the mountains and the rocky heights where nobody can get near it. And there's an egg there. And you say, well, now this egg, you see, it has life in it. It has the ability to reproduce what it came from. It can reproduce that and a whole lot of other things. But then one day, you see, there's something inside that egg that had life in it, and it knocks its way out of the egg. It breaks the egg, and out comes a little eagle. Once that eagle there has stepped out of the egg is of no more use than a pocket in a shroud. You understand? A shroud is what they put on a body when you die, when you're dead, and you put it in the box, you know. It's not much good putting a pocket in that, because you're not taking anything with you. So I'm saying to you that the egg is no more use for anything. The eagle gives no credence to the egg at all. He's out. And when the eagle steps out, everything about the egg is now gone. Nothing that you thought about the egg before now applies to the egg, because now there's nothing in it. It's just merely a shell. I want you to see yourself today as the shell. But within you, there is the Christ of God. There is a spirit within you. And so many of us get wrapped up in the egg, in the shell. But I want to tell you, the shell is a limitation. And for many people, and particularly today, I don't know why, but in this world, many people have a problem of really discovering their true identity. And many times people are living out of a false identity. I can tell you of people who have grown up with an inferiority complex, because I was one of them. Now you say, where did I get it from? I developed it myself. But there were certain conditions in my life that helped me to form that opinion of myself, that I was not good enough, I didn't meet the criteria of being accepted by everybody, I just felt I was nobody and nothing and would never be anything. That's the truth when I was a young man. And people look at me today and say, that's hard to believe. Hey, I'm not that man anymore. That's the shell. That's the shell. It's back there. And I'm not in the shell anymore. You see? God has brought me into another world. He's brought me into another sense of identity. I am now not what I used to be. So, the eagle steps out of the egg, and he's free. He has no limitation upon his life now. I mean, he can fly up above all the other birds. No one can touch him up there. And he has a perfect eyesight that even from way up in the mountain, he can see a mouse down there in the valley. And so, you see, he's made for where he lives. And I want you folk, every one of you, to know who you are before you leave this meeting this morning, and to understand what you can do, because you've left the egg. If you have, I hope you have. But see, many people have never understood. And so for 2,000 years the world has been evangelized by the church and said, give your heart to Jesus, this is what you've got to do. See, you're all a bunch of sinners. You're born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and if you don't get right with God, he's going to destroy you forever and ever and ever. And so now you've got to give your heart to Jesus, believe he died for you on the cross, ask him to come into your heart, and now you can be born again and you go to heaven. That is not the gospel. And you can't show me anywhere in the Bible where Jesus actually preached that gospel, except when we misunderstand, as it is here in Genesis, in John chapter 3. So, in John chapter 3 he says, you must be born from above. You must be born from above. And now, because he's saying this, he says that you'll not see the kingdom of God if you're not born from above. You cannot be born unless there's been a death. There's got to be a death. And if you can't look at the shell back there that you came out of, and I'm just using that as an analogy this morning, if you can't look back like a chicken or a duck or an eagle could look back and see a shell back there that's busted up and say, yeah, that's where I came from, and understand that what you are now is not what you were before. You are in there. You are limited to the shell. The shell indicating your original identity as you established it in your heart, in your own mind. That's what we've done. And so today, you cannot have a new birth without a death. Because whatever you were in that first life, you are certainly not now. Otherwise, you've never been born from above. To be born from above simply is the opposite of your natural birth, which was from the earth. You were born from your mother, from your mother's womb, and that is your birth from the earth. And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, just as we have borne the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. You see. So now, the man that was born on this earth is not the man that is of any value in terms of God's work on the earth today. That is, in the building of the kingdom of God. What you were as you came from your mother's womb does not qualify you to become a son of God. Why not? Amen. Wrong seed. Amen. Wrong seed. You cannot be a son of God unless you are born of the seed of God. You hear this? You want to grow a mango tree? You better plant a mango seed. Because you're not going to get a mango tree if you plant an orange seed or any other kind of seed. You've got to plant a mango seed to get a mango tree. If you are to be a child of God, you have to come from a seed which is the seed of God. And what is the seed of God? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. That's what the seed of God is. It is Christ. And he was the first man. This is the law of first fruit. You remember the law of first fruit for Israel was that before the harvest was finished, that is, before the harvest was mature in the field of the corn, the wheat, the barley, whatever they were growing, before the harvest was all ready, there were certain stalks that already were mature. And God said, I want you to go out into the field and pick just a little bunch of those that are already mature. Bring them into the temple and you wave them before the Lord. And he said, here's the law of first fruits. Whatever these first fruits are, that's what the entire harvest is going to be. Do you understand this? Why do I have to keep preaching this? Because people do not understand, generally speaking. What does this mean? That first man, Genesis 1:26, was God's first fruit. And if you are going to be anything for God, you have to be whatever that man is. Because he is the Son of God. Are you a son of God? Then you have to be exactly what that man is.
Yeah, that's right.
And the truth is that every one of you were actually in that man.
That's right.
So Ephesians 2 verse 10, you remember the Apostle Paul says that you were created in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Every one of you.
Yeah.
When I preach the gospel, I don't care who's in the audience. The devil himself can be there if he wants to. But I will tell you that every person has come out of Christ. Every person. That's Hitler and Idi Amin and anybody else you want to name on this earth.
Amen.
I didn't say they were Christians today. I didn't say they loved God today. I didn't say they're going to heaven today. I said they came out of Christ, because that's the only man that God ever created. If you weren't in him, hey, I don't know what you're doing here tonight, today. You see? Amen. All right, good. Well, you're starting to get the message, because, you see, this has never been preached. Oh, well, not never. But this has not often been preached. And I don't know why we have to go back to this. This is just like the foundation of even getting saved, but it's not taught. Give your heart to Jesus. I meet people all over the world that say, oh, I'm a Christian. I say, how do you know? I gave my heart to Jesus 5 years ago, whatever it was, or, you know, some of us, all the people at the Billy Graham Crusade or whatever. You see, you gave your heart to Jesus. That's wonderful. Did you ever have a death in your life? Or are you still scared of death now? You see, because anybody that has ever been born from above knows what it is to die.
Amen.
I said everybody. Everybody who has ever been born from above has already experienced death. Come on.
Amen.
This is reality.
Amen.
Because if you haven't experienced death, then you can't possibly assume another life. And I want to tell you, here's one of the big issues in life today. I'm a Christian. Why? What? Because Christ dwells in me. How do you know? Because the preacher told me. See, and I'm telling people all the time, Christ is in you. Hey, that's the truth. But if that's not truth for you, then how are you going to be born from above? Because that's the seed.
Yeah.
And it's only when that seed is in you that you can be born from above. Because Christ is the seed of God. Remember, God only created one man. That was Christ Jesus. No more. That's it. And if that man didn't do what God told him to do in Genesis 1:28, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That's what he was told to do. And everybody that would ever be born on the earth was in Christ. It was in him. Because there's not another place for them to come from. God didn't make a special place that people like Hitler could come from, you know, and Idi Amin and some of these other crazies that are in the world today. There's no other place they can come from. That's the only source of life in the universe. And God said to that man, Christ Jesus, I want you to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And if he never did that, you would not be sitting here today. And I would not be here either. He had to, because if he had not reproduced himself, there would have been no purpose of God fulfilled on this earth. And nobody would have been born. Because the only person God created was Christ Jesus. Except that in Christ Jesus was all of mankind. All of mankind. But you see, I grew up as a boy, I grew up with an inferiority complex. Why did I have that? Because, you see, I looked at my father and I saw he was inadequate in a number of ways. Very smart up in here, had a very good government job in Australia, was earning very good money, we had a nice house to live in, we had all that we needed and so on. But I was inferior because I saw in my father a sense of inferiority. I saw in him a nervousness about life itself and an inability to cope with life. If we were traveling in our motor car at that time, which was an old rugby four-cylinder, just a rag top on it, you know, one of those old things, if you were doing 40 miles an hour, you were a flat chat. I mean, you know, that's as fast as the thing would go. And if we were traveling, like, you know, going somewhere, at about 15 kilometers an hour. That's about his speed. And somebody came out on a crossroad or came from out from a side road, he would slam on the brakes and sit in the middle of the road and give us a lecture about the stupidity of that man. You know, we could all have been killed at 15 kilometers an hour. I mean, come on. But that was my father. He was like this. And really what he was doing, he was giving us a lecture while he was trying to compose himself and get back, you know, into gear himself before he could drive on. You see? So that's what I believed I was. He's my father. You see? He's my father. And if you've had this problem, I want you to listen carefully, because you've got to get rid of that. You'll never be the man that God made you to be. See, that's why there's got to be a death. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. What does that mean? He was born a few times. You see? Because every time you die, you're going to be born. So if something has to die in you before the new can come. Listen, you know that little green caterpillar that you see climbing up the tree, the leaves, and chomping on the leaves and getting big and fat? That little guy can't fly. And it won't matter what you do, you can send him to university, you can do what you like with that person. That caterpillar will never, never fly. Never. But you let that caterpillar die and discover that in him there's something else who can fly. And some of you people here today, you've got to understand this. There's another person inside you which can do what you believe today you cannot do.
Yes.
You can do it. It doesn't matter what it is. If you're sick, you can talk to your body and see a release. Because that sickness has no power, no authority. See? You can do that. Now, if you don't know that today, it means because you have not died to the old yet. But you see, the Apostle Paul said that all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When the eagle stepped out of that egg, I'm telling you, he was free. Maybe not just at that moment. He had to grow up and get his wings, or, you know, his feathers growing and his beak and everything, get it all organized. But boy, when he took off from that rock, there was nothing on this earth that he feared. Not a thing in the world. He was ruling the skies.
Yeah.
That's the eagle. That's you.
Yeah.
That's you. You got to be able to look back and see the egg. In other words, the shell from which you came.
Yeah.
You understand? The limitation that was on your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't do this and I can't do that, and I'll never understand the Bible, you know. I just have to get somebody to help me all the time. You can understand, I want to tell you, every one of you can hear the voice of God.
Amen.
If you want to.
Yes.
Every one of you. You don't have to have anybody. You don't need Des Walter. You don't need me. So this is important. Now, having said all of that, I'm going to now begin to share with you what God intends for you to be doing, and that is to evangelize the world.
Amen.
Now, every one of you are going to be involved in this, or you need to be involved in this, because this is for everybody.
Amen.
But when you start to talk about evangelizing the world, you say, well, now, just a minute, you know, I mean, I'm not much good traveling, and, you know, I'm not too keen on flying and all of this. Hey, you just listen, will you? Because I want to tell you, your evangelism will start with your family. It will start with your family. And then it will reach out to your neighbors and your friends. Don't think you're going to start in Africa or somewhere. It'll start in your family. And too many Christians today are happy to be going to heaven when they die and just forget about their folk. And that should not be. They say, oh, they're not interested. If they're not interested, then you are a lousy advertisement for God. Did you hear that?
Amen. Amen.
Because when I hear about a woman who's got a husband that doesn't want anything to do with God, and she tells me that she's a Christian and, you know, she's born again of the Spirit, I just have to shake my head and say there's something wrong. There's a person with the closest relationship that you can have on this earth with a person, and that person doesn't want what you've got. Then I think you should recheck and see what you've got.
Amen.
It's not working for you.
Amen. Right on.
It's not working for you.
Right on.
This is Ezekiel now, chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. And we're going to see what the prophet has to say about this evangelism. It says in verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me, that's upon Ezekiel, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of dry bones. Oh Lord, help us. He picked up this man, and he was a priest, of course, as well, this man, Ezekiel, and he just dropped him in the middle of a valley of dry bones, middle of a cemetery, if you like, because that's what it was. Why in the world did God do that? Well, he was going to teach him something. And I want to tell you that this is a lesson for you today, because this is God speaking to you. There's nothing in this book that does not concern you.
Amen.
Every person in this book has something to teach you. Every person.
Amen.
Have a look at their life. See what happened. See what they did. See what God did in them. And you will begin to understand what God's going to do in your life. You women should read every story of every woman in the Bible.
Yes.
And get some idea of what God could do with you. Because I want to tell you, the amazing thing is that even though it was a woman that took the fruit of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when God wanted somebody to fill a position in the temple of the Lord for Israel, it was a woman that he turned to. And there was a woman called Hannah. She had not been able to conceive at all. And she had a friend who was actually the second wife, you know, and she was giving her a hard time, because the second wife, she was able to conceive and give birth, you know, as often as she needed to. But here's Hannah, she can't give birth at all. So she is in the temple one day crying. And Eli, he's the high priest, but see, he's blind, deaf, and dumb, I think, pretty well. And so he hears this woman. I don't think he saw her too well, but he heard this woman, and she is just sobbing there. And he thinks she's drunk, so he calls out to her and said, "Hey, put some more water with it, you know. You shouldn't be drinking this time of the day." Oh, she said, "I'm not drunk. I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit." And she was crying out to the Lord, "Lord, give me something that I can give back to you." The only person that's recorded in the Bible at that time who could hear the cry of God. What was the cry of God? The doors of the temple are closing. The lamp, the lamp in the temple was going out. Why? There was no priest. Eli is an old man. He's about to disappear. And there's nobody to take his place, and the temple is going to be closed up, and nobody's going to know God. There's only one person in the whole world who is concerned about that. And her name's Hannah. What does she want? She wanted God to give her something that she could give back to the Lord, which obviously was a son. That's what she wanted. You cannot give anything to God that God has not given to you.
Yes.
There are many Christians today that think when they put their tithe in the plate, that's their obligation to God. I want to tell you, it's got nothing much to do with it.
Amen.
You have an obligation to the Lord to fulfill His divine purpose in your life. That's what you're on the earth for. I don't care whatever else you do. You may have a job, you may have work to do, and that's fine. I got no argument with that at all. But you are on this earth to become the vessel through which the Christ of God can manifest Himself and do what He needs to do on this earth. God is not going to ask you to do a miracle, but He is asking you, give me your body. Give me your body. Because Christ is spirit, He does not have a body. And you can have Christ in you and live with a man that doesn't know God. Or you can have Christ in you and live with a woman that doesn't know God. Why? Because there's no expression of the Christ through you. And I'm telling you today, this is where it's got to begin.
Yes, amen.
Listen, I have so many young people say to me, what's the best Bible school to go to? I said, what do you want to go to a Bible school for? Well, because I want to serve the Lord. I said, are you serving the Lord now? No, because I got to get trained. I said, I got news for you. If you'll give your life, your body, to God now, your ministry will start now. That's the truth. I had to learn this. Because all of the study and all of the teaching that I had to become a pastor, I ended up having to junk the whole thing. Because it did not satisfy my life. And in my honesty, and I mean, I had become a Bible teacher. I was speaking in conferences and so on. But I didn't really know God. My life was not an expression of what God truly is. I thought I was. In my mind, I thought, I'm serving God, I'm a pastor, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But I was not seeing anything that was really satisfying me. I wasn't seeing people whose lives were being changed. I wasn't seeing sick people that were made well and suddenly became whole. I wasn't seeing that. So I decided to pursue another course. I said, I need to get aside and let God teach me. And I want to tell you what I'm sharing with you, I did not get from men. I got it from the Father.
Amen.
And I gave away my whole library. Not because I thought it was evil or wicked. No, sir. I gave it away simply because it had done for me everything it could do. And I said to people, come, if you want a book, just come and take it. If you want to give me a dollar for it, that'll be okay, whatever. And that's what I did. But from that day, for the last 40 years, I have listened to a voice in here which has told me everything I need to know. And the interesting thing is this, that everything that Father has told me, I will be able to show it to you in this book. That's why I use the Bible. But I do not use it for my study to know the truth, nor do I study this book to know God. I know God because I walk with Him. I talk with Him every day. I share my life with Him. He tells me what I need to be doing. And then when it comes to function, when I lift off a person their cancer or their whatever it is that they happen to have, it is the Father in me that sets that person free, you see. So I don't have to go around skiting that I'm a healer. I'm not a healer. I don't even believe in healing because I don't believe in sickness. I don't believe you've got to fight anything. I don't have to fight cancer in a person's body. I just simply, the whole of our sickness history originates in the carnal mind. I want to tell you, this carnal mind is, what shall we say, the Al-Qaeda of the world today. I believe it's the spiritual equivalent of the Al-Qaeda in you. This mind will mess you up. It will rob you of the truth, and it will rob you of ever serving God, because you'll not be able to believe him. Because this thing in here will keep telling you, you won't die. You can eat the fruit of that tree. Don't take any notice of God, because you won't die. Your eyes will be open. Oh, God help us. All right, he dropped the prophet right in the middle of this valley of dry bones. This is evangelism. Are you listening now? Because I want you to know, God is speaking to you personally here now, and he is telling you what is your responsibility. So it says here, in verse 2, and he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and behold, they were very dry. Why were these bones very dry? Because nobody had taken the water of life to them. I mean, here's Jesus telling us, he's standing up in the temple one day and said, if any man thirst, any man on this earth, if he will thirst, let him come to me and drink, and out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And I'll guarantee you, those bones are not going to be dry anymore. Come on, you hearing this? These bones are very dry because nobody would take the water of life to them. We're living in a world today where Christians will ignore the fact that there are millions and millions in this world that know nothing about God. There are millions that are locked into all kinds of religions today in this world. And yet, I don't see too many Christians praying or even weeping over them. Dry bones. They're all dry bones. But nobody is crying over them. Nobody is taking the water of life to them. But listen, I'm not asking you to go to Africa. God's not asking you to go to Africa or any other country. I said it's going to start with you first, and then this evangelism is going to start in your family. That's where it's got to work. And if you're married and you don't have two walking together in God, you better get that straightened out too, because it's got to start right here with you and with yours, either a husband or a wife, and then your children and so on. It says here then, verse 3, and the Lord said unto me, Son of man, I'm going to change the tense here because in the Hebrew it is in a different tense. It says here, like a question, can these bones live? But the Hebrew says, do these bones live? And I like that. Do these bones live? So we're looking out at the unsaved. We're looking out at the people that, the church terms as lost. They're not lost. God knows where every one of them is. See, they cannot be lost. God knows where they are. I mean, here he took the prophet and dropped him around right in the middle of the whole bunch of them. How did God know that there were dry bones there? Because he knew. Do these bones live? And what does the prophet say? Oh Lord, you know them. What? God, you know these bones? Come on. Yes, sir, I'm telling you. God knows every one of these bones. Are you hearing this?
Yes, he does.
God knows every one of these bones. They may be dry. They may not have had the water of life, but I tell you, God knows every one of these bones. Why? I'll tell you why. Because every one of those bones, sometime, somewhere, God brought those bones together in a mother's womb and put that body together. And that body, that person was born on the earth. Does he know these bones? Can these bones live? Do these bones live? Yes, sir, they do live. Because God knows every one of them personally. He's handled every one of those bones. Are you hearing this? Oh, God, help us. I know this is not the way the gospel is usually preached, but I'm telling you, this is the way God's taught me. And I don't make any apology for it. God knows every one of these dry bones. Every one. He has handled every one of them. He has brought those bones together when he was forming a body. Now they're lying out there in the field. Dry bones. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. You say, well, now we're going to have to go and find a prophet if we want to prophesy. Well, they've got schools here now in America, and if you want to be a prophet, you can join there for a certain fee, and they will teach you how to be a prophet. Well, I'm going to tell you this morning how to be a prophet, and it'll cost you nothing. It says here, prophesy over these bones. What does it mean to prophesy? Do you have to be some specially trained person in order to prophesy? I don't think so, because I'm going to tell you that Ezekiel was a prophet. But see, I don't read where he went to any great prophetic school in order to learn about the future or whatever. Because most of the prophets that I've heard today, you know, they're traveling the world now. They come out to Australia. We have them out there. We've got a prophet today. Boy, you want to see the bill by the time they left, too, that somebody had to pay. But they came, and they're a prophet. So, you know, they're going to talk to you. I mean, they can pretty well write your horoscope. I mean, you know, you tell them your birthday and they'll tell you what you're like and they'll tell you about your character and they're going to tell you about your parents and a whole heap of stuff. I want to tell you that's not the work of a prophet. The work of the prophet is extremely simple. It's to say what Father is saying. That's all. I mean, when Balaam goes down to Balak there, and Balak says to him, I want you to curse the children of Israel. He said, you know, King, I can't do just anything I want to do. I can't say anything I want to say. If the Father will let me, I can do what you want me to do. But if the Father says, no, I can't do it. You see, the work of a prophet is simply to say what God is saying. And he almost got himself killed because his donkey was smarter than he was. Well, he was, because he's riding his donkey down there to go and pick up this house full of gold and silver that he was going to get from Balak and do what the king had asked him to do. And the donkey sees an angel on the pathway there, and it's like a narrow hedge there. And so the donkey sees the angel, but the angel's got a sword in his hand. The donkey says, hey, I'm no match for that. So he gets over against the wall, you see, and scrapes the leg of this prophet who's on his back. And he gets off that donkey and he gives him what for, you stupid donkey. And he just beats him. He gets back on again and says, now, get down the road. Well, the donkey looked down, he could see the angel now has moved right out into the middle there, and he's still got his sword up, so he's not about to get fooling with an angel with a sword. So he takes off into the paddock, the field beside him. And this time, the prophet really loses his cool altogether, and he starts to beat that donkey. And the donkey just simply turned up and said, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? You blind or something? Couldn't you see? There's an angel down there with a sword. Yeah? This is the donkey telling him. Come on. How stupid can you be? Well, by the way, if you want to know, the angel was called Satan. Did you hear that?
Yes.
But he wasn't wearing a black suit with a pitchfork. He was an angel. The word Satan simply means an adversary.
Yes.
And you better watch the adversary.
Yes.
Because every time something goes wrong in our life, that's the devil. That's the devil. He's been messing me around all day. You better make sure it wasn't an angel. Uh-huh. Okay. So, it says here, prophesy upon these bones and say. And so God's even telling you what you've got to say to the dry bones. Now he's talking to you. Never mind about Ezekiel now. He's talking to you. He says, this is what I want you to say. O ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. You say, come on. I mean, my husband's as thick as a brick. You know. I mean, he can't hear anything, you know. Or my wife is, well, she's just dumb. She can't hear anything. She can't hear God. But he says, prophesy. And what I want you to prophesy, or what I want you to say is, you bones, hear the word of the Lord. And God's got to put some ears on those bones. Because I want to tell you, every one of those bones can hear the voice of God. But many Christians can't. Oh, Lord, help us today. How many Christians have said to me, I've never heard the voice of God? Well, God said to the prophet, see those dry bones? They can hear me. You just prophesy and it will be. Oh, God. You see, we get somebody, and they seem like they're blind, deaf, and dumb, and they can't understand anything that I'm talking about. And we think, well, I can't do anything much with them. Well, you better think again and say, God, is there something wrong with me? I mean, is there enough of God in you that is being manifest for those dry bones to say, hey, you're not just an ordinary person. You look to me like a son of God. Because that's what needs to be. Those dry bones need to see who you are by manifestation. And I don't mean by that you're out here preaching or you're running around the world preaching the gospel. No, no, no. I simply mean that God is functioning in your life and that there is an expression of Christ every day in your life. You are loving and loving the unlovely, and you're kind even to those that are unkind, and you're not sort of stuck up. I'm a Christian, you know. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. Like, you know, I'm different to all you people. I'm not talking about that. That's what's keeping many of the dry bones out there being dry. So, thus saith the Lord God, verse 5, to these bones. Behold, I am bringing spirit to enter into you. It's breath there, but breath and spirit and wind are all the one word. It's ruach in the Hebrew language. Those three words all are the one Hebrew word, ruach. He says, I am bringing a spirit to enter into you, and you will discover, it says there, and you will live. Listen to this. This is the Hebrew. And you will discover that you have already lived.
Wow.
Help us, Lord. Help us. Do you remember a little verse that I think I quoted the other night? In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. You remember that verse? Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, I knew you. Those bones, God knew them before they were even born, before they were even a bunch of bones. He knew them. Are you hearing this? These are the lost, you know, that the church talks about. And we're going to go out and get the lost and get them saved. Well, I'm going to tell you, God knows every one of them. Are you hearing this? Because this is going to give you a different perspective on evangelism. Because we've got to change the picture. The picture is not true as it's been taught. That we're going to go out into the world and preach the gospel. Yes, if God sends you. God sent me out into the world, but he may not have sent you, and he may never send you. And that doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that I'm better than you. It means you have a responsibility, and I have a responsibility. You have a responsibility for your families. You have a responsibility for your friends, your relatives, and so on. So never mind about Africa. Never mind about all these others. It says here that when you prophesy over these dry bones, and that's what you've got to start with. You've got to start with prophesying. Speak what God is telling you. He's even telling you what to say. If you've got some dry bones in your family, then speak to them and say, "You dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Because you can hear the word of the Lord. Because you know the Lord and the Lord knows you. You see, that's the truth. So don't just try and talk to your family. Don't just try and talk to a husband or a wife, whatever is the issue there. Don't just try and do that. You can't do it until you follow the procedure, if you like. And it simply says, prophesy. In other words, okay, Lord, you're telling me what to do, and if I do this, then you guarantee that the result will be according to your word? Yes, sir, he says. God will guarantee you. And some of those people that you thought would never, never turn to God will disappoint you, because they will. They'll turn to God, you see. Okay, I will put spirit that shall enter into you, and you have lived. You have lived. Verse 6, and here's what I will do. You see, this is God talking now about evangelism. You see, there's a part that you have to play, but there's also a part that God has to play. Now, you need not have to, you don't have to barnstorm God to get him to do what he needs to do. He's going to do what he needs to do without any help from you and without even being reminded. He knows what he's got to do. But you and I have to learn how to do what God says for us to do. What's he want you to do? Does he want you to go out and save the world? No, sir, he never asked you to do that. He said, go out to the dry bones and prophesy over them. And you haven't done it. If you want to pray for Africa, then prophesy over the dry bones. Don't just say, God bless Africa. Are you hearing this? Prophesy over them. If you want to pray for some people here, prophesy over them. Speak to the dry bones. Now, here's what God says. I'll do my part. This is what I will do. This is verse 6. I have laid sinew upon you, and I have brought flesh up upon you, and I have covered you with skin, and I have put breath in you, and you have already lived, and you shall know that I am the Lord. You see, the result will be you will know that I am the Lord. That's the dry bones talking now. You will know. So it says here in verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. That's all you've got to do. Prophesy as you were commanded. So now you're dealing with the dry bones. The dry bones may be part of your family. Your dry bones may be a friend next door, or somebody down the road, or somebody that you know that's got a problem. It may be somebody who is sick and they need to be delivered. And that's just as important. They're dry bones until they're delivered. But if you will prophesy over them, I will guarantee you God will do his part. You see? And when I say prophesy, you cannot say what God is saying unless you believe what God is saying. You see? So we've got to believe that what we are saying, hear these bones, hear the word of the Lord. Do I believe that these bones can hear? Of course I do. God knows every one of them. Isn't that interesting? God knows every single bone. Because he actually put the bones together in the first place. He formed the bones. Then he brought the bones together to form a body. He already knew them. He already knew them. And he says in verse 8, and when I looked, lo, the sinew and the flesh had come up upon them, and the skin had already covered them, but there was no breath in them. Wow, we're getting somewhere anyway. At least now the bones have all come together and they've got skin and sinews and all the rest of the gear, whatever's necessary in there. It's all there together, but there's no life in the body. Of course there's not. We know that. There's no life in your body apart from the Christ. There's no life other than that in your body. That's why I say if Christ isn't in you today, you're dead. Well, that's what the Bible says. He says you are dead in trespasses and in sin. But that's not anything to do with the cemetery. It just means your bones are dry. Why? Because you're not plugged into the water of life. The water of life is flowing as a river. Did you know that in the Garden of Eden there was a river that began in that garden? And the Bible says that that river flowed out of the Garden of Eden, and when it got to the outside it broke into four different streams. One went to the east, one went to the west, one went to the north, and one went to the south, and watered the whole earth. And that Garden of Eden is in you today. Come on.
Yes.
That means the river of life is capable of flowing out of you.
Amen.
He said, if any man will thirst, let him come to me and drink, and out of his innermost being will flow a river. How can the dry bones be dry bones out there if there's a river flowing out of us? There could not be a bunch of dry bones out there. Because there's a river flowing out of us. See, this is reality. So it says here, in verse 9, he said, now prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come and fill the universe. Come from the four corners of the earth. Oh, breath. So he's not just talking about the breeze out there. When he's talking about the wind, remember, wind and spirit and breath are the same word in both the Greek and the Hebrew language. In the Hebrew it's the word ruach. In the Greek language it is pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. And that's wind, breath and spirit. So he said, prophesy and say, son of man, say to the wind, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these who have died. And what does he say? And they shall live. Not they might live, not they might respond to you, but they may not, and then I'll have to send them to hell anyway. No, sir. That's not the gospel. It says, and they shall.
They shall.
They shall. Oh, God, help us. They shall live. call on the fall winds. So you see, even nature is going to join in with you. But when he's calling on the fall winds, he's calling on the breath of God that fills the universe. God fills the universe with himself. So therefore, the winds can come from the north, the south, the east, the west, it doesn't matter, because the breath of God is filling this universe today. And those dry bones there, when you prophesy over them, and when that water of life touches them, he said, then they will begin to live. You see, under the present concept of evangelism, of go out there and tell people that Christ died for them on the cross, go out there and tell them that, you know, God's willing to forgive their sin if they will confess their sin, give your heart to Jesus. I mean, we're never going to see the kingdom built. Because we have millions on this earth today, millions, who claim to be Christians. Why? Because they have done what the preacher told them to do. Like I did when I was 10 years of age. My Sunday school teacher said, Des Walter, it's time you became a Christian. I said, yeah, what do I do? He said, kneel down at that chair and repeat after me. And I repeated the sinner's prayer and so on. I'm not making fun of anything here today. This is too serious to make fun of. But I am trying to tell you that there is a reality which we have not touched. And we better understand that there is also a methodology that God is trying to teach us here today of how to get rid of the dry bones and how to see them becoming who we are. Well, so it says here in verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. This is not the Salvation Army, this is the army of God. This is the army of God. And who were they? They were the dry bones. Come on. They were the dry bones. Somehow, Christians have got the idea that we're the only ones that's going to get saved. We're the only ones. Oh God, we're going to be up there in heaven and we're going to look down and there's the millions down there. They didn't want you, Lord, so just don't worry about them. Just let them go to hell. You know, it's okay. That is not the gospel. That is not the gospel.
No.
There's not going to be one soul on this earth who is not going to bow the knee unto him. There's not going to be one soul whose tongue is not going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They're all going to confess it. There's not going to be anybody left on the earth apart from the people of God. You say, do you believe everybody's going to get saved? Well, what do you think? Eh? You make up your mind. Right. You don't think God can save everybody? Of course he can. But see, we're trying to do it our way. You know. And if you're going to go to everybody and get them to give their heart to Jesus, it's never going to be. Because that's not what he said. He's telling you here. I mean, this to me is the clearest picture of evangelism that I know in the whole book. And that's why I preach it. And you're not the first people that I've preached this to. But every time I preach it, it comes out a little bit differently. But that's God, because he knows who the audience is. So it says here, there's a great army now. These have all not just come to Christ, and now they're wearing a t-shirt which says, I'm a Christian, or put a cross around their neck or something. No, no, no. They are now an army. Now, an army is trained to respond to one control, and that's the man in charge, and in this case that is Jesus Christ. So those dry bones now have come to the place where they are responding perhaps better than many of us have responded. And this is what's going to happen. There are people in Africa that put me to shame when I see what they do. I see that there are some men there now that are going over the border and taking the message of the gospel. But these are poor people. These are people that, you know, they hardly have 2 cents to rub together. They've got nothing. But they are doing this. How are they doing it? I don't know how they're doing it. But I know that God's on their side.
Amen.
And while they're willing to do what they are doing and being sent of God, God is providing for them. I can tell you of men today there that are actually working, men that have quite a good job in the city, but they are also running a little farm at the same time. And what they're making off the farm is paying for their ministry. And it's allowing them to go across the borders into it. I mean, this is Africa I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I stay in their homes. I've stayed in some of their homes there. And I tell you, some of you might think twice about staying there. I mean, the beds, and I'm not sure whether those mattresses have seen daylight, you know, in the last 50 years. But, you know, it's okay. They sleep on them, so why not me?
Amen.
And I can sleep on them too. I went to India on one occasion, and in one place they didn't have room in their main house for me, but they had a shed, and they went and bought a bed from the army. It was an ex-army bed, just 4 legs, a steel frame, and there was a sheet of about 16 grade steel as the mattress. That's all. And they put a nice white sheet over that and said, "There's your bed."
Praise the Lord.
Oh, I'll tell you, that took a lot of grace that night. I mean, I said, "Lord, you know, I mean, every bone in my body is—it's all sticking out. I don't know where to lie on this thing. It's as hard as well." But you see, I didn't complain. I never said a word to that man. I didn't sleep a whole lot that night, but God did give me sleep. And I said, "Thank you, Lord, that'll do me." You see, we've got to begin to understand that we have failed God. I said we, I didn't say you, I said we. Because even what I've done is nothing compared with what I see the world is needing out there. I see the need so great. And you remember that I've got a wife back home there that's crying out for me to be back home. When I say crying out, I'm not talking about she's gone mad and so on. No, no, no. She has never tried to stop me in the ministry. Not one time. That's a beautiful wife. Not just a beautiful wife, but a wife that really knows God. And she knows who she is now. And she's praying for me and she's waiting for me the day I get home. So now listen, we've got to put this together. It says here that there was a great army now that stood up. So they've got life in them and they now are a great army, which means that they already have committed themselves to the officer in charge. That's Jesus Christ. So they're an army. And they're ready. Where do we go, Lord? What do you want? We're ready. We'll go anywhere. And so he said to me, verse 11, "Son of man, these bones," what's this? "Are the whole house of Israel." These bones are the whole house of Israel. Oh God, help us today. Help us to see that the dry bones are not the lost that are going to hell. They are the Israel of God. Are you hearing this? Oh, Lord. I'm telling you. Every time I preach this, I mean, this just touches my heart all over again. They are all the Israel of God. They're not the lost out there that think, "Oh, well, it's okay, they don't want God, so they can go to hell, it's okay, doesn't matter."
No.
I don't think so. The whole house of Israel. And listen to this. "Behold," they say, "our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off, for our other parts. Are you seeing this?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you need to underline some of this in your Bible if you're not too religious. It says here, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. But this is, listen to this, our, what does it say? We are cut off from our other parts. Let me tell you something. Those dry bones that Ezekiel was dropped in the middle of in that valley are connected to your bones. Are connected to your bones. Why? Because they're connected with us.
Yes.
They are all the house of Israel.
Wow.
And that doesn't mean we're all Jews.
No.
See, the house of Israel is the term that's used for the whole of God's people. We are the Israel of God. We're not necessarily Jews, because that's just a small part of the thing. So it says, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and I'll cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. This is the land of immortality. Oh God, help us here. I have opened your graves, and I have caused you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of immortality. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And I have put my spirit in you, and you now live. And I shall place you in your own land, which is the promised land, and you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I have performed it, saith the Lord. Oh, God, help us. You didn't think you had any connection with those people that you called lost out there, did you? You didn't think you had any connection with the people in Africa. You thought, they're not part of us. I mean, they're not part of our genealogy and so on. And what have we got to do with them? You see, Acts chapter 17, verse 26, the Apostle Paul says, God hath made of one all the nations on the earth to dwell. God has made of one. That means that they all came out of God. So they are all your brothers and your sisters. Every last one of them. Oh God, help us. Help us today. We have ignored those people. And I did for years myself. I ignored them. I said, if they don't want God, that's their business. It's not business of mine. And that was my attitude, which was the attitude of most Christians that I knew at that time. But I'm telling you, I changed my mind a long time ago. And I'm here today to try and help you to see and understand what true evangelism is. And I would like to see here in Phoenix a fellowship that could function to encourage one another. That would pray and prophesy over the dry bones and over whatever needs to be prophesied over, and where you will see an increase. Because God says, if you will be faithful to do what I tell you to do, I will be faithful to do what I can do that you cannot do.
Amen.
And who knows that in 12 months we could come back and we would need a much bigger room than this.
Amen.
And I'm not complaining about the numbers that are here this time. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, from God's point of view,
amen,
I would like to see a much bigger room filled with people,
yes,
concerned to know about God, to learn something more about the reality of Christ dwelling in us,
amen,
and to be concerned for the bones out there. And I trust that today God has spoken into your heart that you will never be the same again.
Amen.
And that you will treat even your family differently. And if you have members of your family, maybe grandchildren, maybe great-grandchildren, or whatever, maybe nephews, nieces, uncles, whatever, that you want to see reached for God, instead of just ignore them because they don't seem to want to know God, prophesy.
That's right. That's right.
Prophesy.
Right on.
And see God, because when you speak what God speaks, it is reality.
Yes.
No word of the Lord shall return unto him until it has fulfilled the purpose for which it was given.
Yes.
You hear this?
Yes.
That's the truth. So every word that God speaks is going to fulfill itself before it can return. And it must return to the Lord. Every word that he speaks will return to him, but only when it's accomplished what God sent it to do.
Yes.
So if you want to see somebody in your family, if there's somebody close to you that needs to know God in a better way or whatever, prophesy.
Amen.
Or don't go to them and lay hands on them and say, I'm going to prophesy over you. Hey, you just do it. God's listening.
That's right.
And the bones are listening. Don't you worry.
Amen.
And they're going to hear the voice of God. That's what he said. Prophesy and say, hear ye the word of the Lord. So you're opening a door in your friends.
Yeah.
Sometimes it could be your husband. Sometimes it could be your wife. It could be your children. It could be anybody.
Yeah.
But you can open a door in that person or in those people, and they will hear the voice of the Lord. You're hearing this?
Amen.
This is evangelism.
That's right.
Today, I'm asking that God would bless you, and that what you've heard today is going to remain with you, and you are going to begin to express it.
Hallelujah.
And that your life will be different, and that God will give you a concern and a deep spiritual love,
yes,
the love of God for people that have not been so blessed as you have been. And remember that there are people hurting out there. Many people are hurting with all manner of problems, not just sickness, but that's one of them, but many, many other things. Look at the number of divorces we have today. How many marriages are in trouble? Most times not even the neighbors know. And next time you read in the paper there's been a murder, there's been something has happened, you see. Today, beloved, God is laying a hold on you and says, you belong to me.
Yes.
Your body belongs to me.
Yes.
It's not yours.
Yeah.
I made your body for myself.
Mm-hmm.
It is the temple of God. Mm-hmm. And that means that I will function through your body if you will just make it available to me. And I want to tell you, I don't care what your body is, whether you're 5 foot nothing like me or you're 6 foot ten, it doesn't matter. Whether you've got 2 or 3 degrees from the university, it doesn't matter. Just be yourself. But with God dwelling in you, functioning and energizing you for the purpose for which he is using you, then I will tell you that you will see those bones come together. And those bones have to join these bones before we can quit.
Amen. Amen.
You see?
Amen.
Those bones out there are part of your bones because they are all part of the Israel of God.
Amen.
And it's incomplete. May God bless you. Amen.